Welcome to The Kitchen Table, a conversation about faith, music, and culture. Join Shine.fm's ministry director, Brian McIntyre Utter, and his 18-year-old son, Jake, around the table for this week's chat.
Welcome to episode 10 of The Kitchen Table, a father-son podcast talking about faith, music, and culture.
So is episode 10, is that sort of like a...
It's like our 10th birthday all
like
over again.
Like a plateau, like a milestone.
There we go. I think so.
Hey, thanks for listening. We have been doing this now for a little over 2 months and do this weekly thing, and we hope you enjoy it. Share it with your friends, let others know about it, join the conversation and all those kinds of things. What we do is we take about 20 minutes to talk about a faith question and discuss that, going back and forth. Mm-hmm. We go into some music, which we have coming up, and then we do a segment we call Culture Shock a little bit later in the episode. Thank you for tuning in. My name is Brian.
And I'm Jake.
And we're going to dive right into the faith question this week. Faith question: why does God allow temptation to come into our lives? Why does God allow temptation to come into our lives? What do you think, Jake?
I think God uses temptation, and I don't think he created it in the beginning, because obviously that's when sin came into the world, and temptation is kind of a form of sin, you know what I mean? So I think...
Is it? Man, giving in to temptation, that becomes sin.
That is sin. Yeah, I agree with you on that. I think God uses temptation as kind of a testing of our faith.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
I think God uses temptation as kind of like faith testers, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like they test our faith. It says in James 1:3 in the Bible, it says, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. So I think he uses temptation as that test.
Well, you have to understand and how the Greek and the Hebrew words come into play here. The Greek and Hebrew word in Scripture for temptation and trial are identical.
Really?
And it's all about the intent and the motivation in that situation. Is the purpose of the trial or the temptation, is that to tear people down? It's a temptation. But if the purpose is for to build up, then it's a trial. And temptation is actually a lure to sin. And God doesn't lure us to sin. In fact, sin is like anti-God.
Yeah.
That's how you define it, okay? But God does test us, as you mentioned. God will never lead someone to sin. And we know that if it is a temptation or a trial, it's in either situation, we are to remain faithful to the Lord and believe that he will reveal the reason for it in due time.
Mm-hmm.
And that is to grow. Here's something to really make you think a second. Okay, why was there a forbidden fruit even in the garden? Why put it there? You know?
Yeah.
And then to tell them you can have everything but this tree. Is that temptation? Is that a test?
I feel like it was.
Yeah.
I mean,
now think about this even further. He put the tree that they couldn't touch in the middle
of the garden. Middle,
so you've got to pass it. You know, he didn't put it like on a far off corner somewhere. He put it in the middle of the garden, and then he said, don't touch.
Yeah.
Temptation.
That's where human nature comes into play. Thanks for listening to The Kitchen Table. We're a father-son podcast talking about faith, music, and culture.
Does God allow temptation?
Yes.
Why?
I don't want to sound repetitive, but...
It's to test
us. It's to test us, yeah.
Well, God wants us to know that we can say no to temptation, that obeying every impulse is not freedom. Freedom's being able to say mm-hmm. no to the impulses. God gave Adam and Eve authority over temptation, over the serpent, and of course, they found out how powerful that serpent is, and they didn't find out how powerful the authority that God had given them was to overcome it.
Mm-hmm.
God has given us and others this authority. Okay, so he's not indifferent. He's not some far-off God. He is very near. In fact, I would say that he is probably especially close in the most intense temptations we face. And Adam and Eve, they did not learn to walk in the fire with one another, nor with him, because of that temptation.
Mm-hmm.
Intent means everything. For example, if you have a coach that makes you run wind sprints until you puke your guts out.
I had one of those.
All right. And he's forcing those grueling circumstances on you to humiliate you. He would be classified as a monster, right?
Yeah.
But a drill instructor in the military who's also making you run and get into the best physical shape possible, because it serves the best interests mm-hmm. of that person to be in the best physical shape they can possibly be. It's all about the motives behind that, the intent that is behind that, that either turns you from a monster into a drill instructor. And so many people would have to ask, what is God's intention when it comes to putting us into situations where we face temptation? God's intention is to always, for believers, to emerge from the trials we face in life better than when we started before.
Mm-hmm.
That's either in being stronger, or that's even in knowing more, having a better knowledge of it.
Yeah.
And he promised us that every situation, there is always a way out. There's an escape hatch through temptation.
Thanks for listening to The Kitchen Table. We're a father-son podcast talking about faith, music, and culture.
Is temptation sin? Yes or no? Why?
Well, you said this earlier, but I switched my mind, so I said yes at first, but now I say no.
Okay, like, good.
New eyes.
You've learned something already.
I know, I have, yeah. No, because like what I was in the process that I was thinking was just the falling into temptation. That is sinning, because you're deciding to fall into the temptation. But I don't think temptation itself is not sinning, because you are not doing that act.
Okay, follow-up question.
Okay.
Did Jesus sin?
No.
Was Jesus tempted?
Yes.
Right, he was tempted by Satan.
But
he was baptized.
Yeah, I know, yeah.
So being tempted is not a sin. Mm-hmm. Giving in to that temptation, then that becomes
that's
a
where
sin.
The,
so the reality is temptation is a normal part of the Christian life.
Yeah.
We think that many times that we struggle with something and we're probably the only one struggling this, and we're constantly struggling with it, we might as well just cave in. That is a lie from Satan.
Mm-hmm.
It is. God tests humans. And when he does that, it is always for our best. There is a purpose behind that. He is trying to grow us. Thus, why would he put the tree in the middle of the garden? That makes no sense whatsoever. He is helping us through these temptations to develop patterns of obedience.
Mm-hmm.
That's what he wants. You're listening to The Kitchen Table. We are a father-son podcast discussing faith, music, and culture.
I know this is super corny, but like whenever I think of temptation, I think of there's a VeggieTales movie, and it's Larry Boy versus the Evil Apple. It's VeggieTales, so it's like really kiddy and stuff, but it kind of depicts a good, like, a good visual of temptation.
They teach great stories.
Oh, it's amazing. Like, I vividly remember the entire movie.
So Jesus was tempted by Satan towards the beginning of his public ministry. It was right after he was baptized. For 40 days he was in the desert, and there were trials or temptations. Again, we've determined that trials and temptation are basically the same words. And he came out of the desert more powerful than he went into the desert.
Yeah.
Now, this was at the beginning of his public ministry. God put him through this. Why? Because obedience results in power. Not only is God glorified through our obedience, but what that did, it strengthened the confidence, and it also is the certainty of God's will for our life. So maybe God is putting us through that temptation because he's trying to teach us something, which comes into play the timing of temptation. You know, Jesus was just beginning his public ministry. He had just been baptized. Being baptized, that's like a mountaintop moment for a Christian, right?
Mm-hmm.
And what tends to happen after mountaintop moments, when we just accept Christ, when we just become baptized, what tends to happen soon after?
Life gets hard. It's kind of like I just graduated high school, and in high school you have winter retreats, camp retreats, and they call it post-camp depression. But it's just like you miss camp. It's kind of a true statement, because you're at camp for a week or a weekend, and you're just there praising God all the time. You're just surrounded. Like, you don't have your normal day-to-day life in that weekend or week. And so when you go home, it's kind of hard because you're not constantly surrounded, but you know what to do is right. It's difficult.
You're listening to The Kitchen Table. We are a father-son podcast discussing faith, music, and culture. You know that this is a part of spiritual warfare. We haven't really talked a lot about that, but God's timing is perfect, and you're saying, well, why would we go through all these trials and temptations soon after, you know, something major that's happened? You know, we're all on a journey, and we're all going to that next plateau as we continue on this journey. And when we have those plateau moments, when we learn from God, we have a mountaintop moment, so to speak, that's when it comes along. God allows temptation, especially after those mountaintop moments. And it's not God planning those. And that's totally Satan trying to attack us. But God allows it to happen because he is preparing us for something greater, a greater discipline, just so we can grow stronger. And when it comes down to it, when we go the other route, when we give in to temptation, that's typically because of our own pride and our own self-righteousness. So temptations are real. There is a vulnerability that comes with it. What must we do when we get to that moment of temptation and not giving into that temptation? We have to boldly run to the cross, because that's where God wants us to do, wants us to keep returning back to him. When we are being sent out to do something for God, that's when we're going to be attacked, right? We have to realize that to do it properly, to do God's mission for our lives, we talked a couple weeks ago about what is God's will for my life. Well, to do it effectively, we have to wholly be dependent upon him. Mm-hmm. And so many times that timing is to remind us that we have to depend on him. Nowhere does the Bible say that we won't be tempted to sin. Does not say that. Jesus was tempted. Jesus did not give in. He is our example, right? Yeah. The Bible says that before Jesus began preaching, the devil tempted him for 40 days and nights, trying to unsuccessfully get him to turn away from God's plan for his life and to follow Satan instead. Hebrews 4:15 says about Jesus, has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin. And so, man, he gets it. He was tempted in every way, just like we are today.
Yeah, and I think that's also the cool thing about Christianity. It's Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I mean, you have the Father that loves for us, but then, like, he also came down to this earth and became human with us. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the cool thing about just Christianity and Jesus. It's not like any other religion, because there's no other religion, really, that their God came down to earth and became human as well. I think that's just a special thing about it. Like, he suffered, he was tempted, he was perfect, he didn't sin.
Mm-hmm.
It's just awesome. Thanks for listening to The Kitchen Table. We're a father-son podcast talking about faith, music, and culture.
So how do we react when we face temptation? What should be our first reaction? Our first reaction would be to always seek the truth. And the truth, of course, of God's word, the Bible, has to be clear in our hearts and our mind what God's will is. If we don't know, ask him. Remember, ask him to help you turn away from Satan's lies that are now being faced, thrown in front of you. So acknowledge the truth. That's the first thing we can do. Temptations are common. That's absolutely true. Every circumstance, in every person, temptation is common. The truth of the matter is we have pride and think more highly of ourselves than we ought, and we place unreasonable demands on others. That's the truth we can acknowledge.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus did it first. Jesus is our example. We've said this multiple times today. He committed everything to God, right? He is our example. Our hope is for transformation, James 1:2, which you mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
It's the process of sanctification. Big word, what does it mean? Sanctification, our human nature is gradually exchanged for divine nature when we are in obedience to God's will and we put to death the sinful lusts of our flesh. That is sanctification. We are becoming, we basically surrender ourselves to Christ and we die to that sin that we are prone to give into those temptations. And we only realize this, we can only do it through him.
Mm-hmm.
There is a way of escape. And Paul talks about this in Philippians chapter 4. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God, and the peace of God will surpass all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. That is our way of escape in temptation. That's a great thing to remember. James writes, again, you said this before, blessed is the person who endures temptation, for they have been proven they will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him. What a great reminder.
Thanks for listening to The Kitchen Table. We're a father-son podcast talking about faith, music, and culture. Also, another good way to help with this temptation that you're facing, seek mentors in your life. That is a big factor. When I was in high school, I know I just graduated, but I mean like younger high school, I had a lot of challenges. And I think what helped me the most was the mentors that I had in my life, the older and wiser people who were strong in their faith. Like, my youth pastor was a great one. My parents supported me through that. I have a lot of older friends who are even wiser. But make sure that they are strong in their faith before you go and put your problems on them, because they might be facing through the same things. Just seek a mentor.
Before we get to a true-false quiz I have for you.
Oh, no.
Yes. A pop quiz. You know, we think we understand temptation as followers of Christ, and maybe you don't. Temptation is a daily thing. It's going to come knocking on your door every day, and this is what you need to know. What you see isn't always what you get. Temptation lies in the word desire. And typically a temptation, and whatever that is, doesn't actually deliver the promised thing that it's showing you. Temptation deceives us. Temptation deceived Adam and Eve. They thought they're going to take this tree of knowledge. Man, this is going to be great. They're going to know what God knows. That was the desire.
Yeah, yeah.
They didn't get what they wanted.
Mm-hmm.
The pressure to resist temptation is far less than the pressure from the consequences after giving in to temptation.
Wow. That one, I like that. That was good.
And once you move into that land of consequences, there can be forgiveness, but you are now in the land of consequences. I mean, Adam and Eve experienced that firsthand. Mm-hmm. They, because of that temptation and giving in to that sin, they now live in the land of consequences.
Mm-hmm.
But there is forgiveness. It's good for us that Jesus meets us there, forgives our sins, and we turn away from them and ask the Lord to cleanse us. Giving in to temptation actually increases sinful desires. And the opposite of that is true. Holy desires, as we do them, increase by us acting on holy desires, but sinful desires also increase the more we give in to them. Your life will demonstrate this reality, for the good or for the bad. So will the lives of everyone around you. Without Jesus to forgive our sins and to set our feet on a firm path, we would be hopeless and helpless. Surrendering our life to Jesus produces that holy desire, that good fruit we've been talking about. Surrendering your life to sin will produce the exact opposite of that. Unholy desires and bad fruit.
Mm-hmm. Thanks for listening to The Kitchen Table. We're a father-son podcast talking about faith, music, and culture.
Everyone has the potential to give in to temptation over and over again. Romans 3:23, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. James 1:14, each one is tempted when, by his own evil desire, he is dragged away and enticed. The good thing is Christians are free to say no to temptation.
Mm-hmm.
Romans 6:18, you have been set free from sin and have become slaves to righteousness. We're tempted to sin as much as everyone else is, but we do not have to give in to that temptation. We have to go back to the scriptures. We have to be reminded of who I am in Christ, who we are in Christ, how he has freed us to live in a way that pleases him. John 14:15, if you love me, you will obey what I command. Important thing to remember, your past does not have to define your future.
Very good. Love that saying.
Pop quiz time.
All right, hit me with it.
This is true and false. God allows us to be tempted, true or false?
True.
True. God does allow us to be tempted. You are being tempted because you are far away from God.
False.
Very good. Man, you're doing great so far. Temptation is not a sin until you sin.
True.
Very good. Temptations are not punishments.
True.
True. God does not punish us by tempting us to sin. He calls us out of sin. Mm-hmm. He gives us tools to overcome the temptation. Next question. It is better to ignore temptations rather than to face them straightforward.
False.
False. Simply turn our hearts to God in some aspiration of love and piety. Deal with it right away. True or false? You need to be ready for a tempting battle.
True.
True. It's going to come. It comes every day. True or false? You must stand strong against temptation.
True. Most definitely.
Pray for a way out of temptation. God will provide. We are weak on our own, and we may need more help to avoid sin. Can't do it on our own. True or false? The devil tempts us only with big sins.
False.
It's the little things that get us more than anything.
Mm-hmm.
Trip us up and we don't even realize it. True or false? We should never reason with temptation.
True.
True. A good example is Eve and the serpent in Genesis chapter 3. She was trying to reason with temptation. There is no gray area. Mm-hmm. Sin is sin, no matter how large, no matter how small. You passed the quiz. Very good.
100%.
Yay.
Let's just see if I can convert that into my college quizzes.
All right, I want to close this thought with this. Dealing with temptation, we face it every day. You can have a brand new beginning today. You can bring your sins to Jesus and enter the future as a forgiven child of God who is free to say no to temptation. The more you know about temptation, the more you're prepared you are to resist it and grow stronger as a follower of Christ. He resisted temptation perfectly and never sinned, and we can now face temptation with His grace and His strength. Remember that today. All right, that's our faith question for today.
And now moving on to Music Matters.
Music Matters, we discuss music. We look at songs new, songs old. I go first with a new song.
Mm-hmm.
Brand new song. Switchfoot, one of my favorite bands.
Ooh, I love Switchfoot.
Yeah, they took a hiatus last year. Sort of been off doing other things, taking a break.
Wasn't John Foreman on tour?
John did do some touring on his own because he's got thousands of songs he's written and many that he's recorded. They have a new song. It's not a Switchfoot record. It's actually a soundtrack.
Really?
Yes. It's on a soundtrack. If you saw the movie Unbroken, remember the story about Louis? The guy that crashed the plane
and then
he was in the prison camp during the war.
In Japan.
How brutal it was.
Yeah.
And he came out of that. And so
they're making a second one, aren't they?
Well, if you've read the book Unbroken, that first film only went up to him being rescued and then a little bit about his life.
Gotcha.
But you miss the other part of him having to deal with the psychological problems that happened after being tortured all that time and the effects it had on him, and then his salvation at a Billy Graham crusade, and then how he dedicated his life to helping teenagers. This sequel is called Unbroken Path to Redemption, which is the second half of that book.
Yeah, no, you made me read it.
Yeah, it's a great book.
You did.
I don't make you read things. Well, I encourage you to read things.
Okay, yeah.
But this song from Switchfoot is called You Found Me. I'll let John share a little bit about it, and then we'll hear a snippet of it.
Well, as I wrote this song, one moment kept coming back to me. He must have felt the temptation to give up. And you don't have to be an Olympic athlete or a war hero to know what I'm talking about. In the quiet moments when the struggle to keep going becomes the hardest, we all need to be reminded of the truth, that we are not alone. And I found healing from my wounded heart.
I found mercy in your open arms. Sounds great.
Love those guys. Awesome.
I remember the first time I saw them. It was at an Ignite Festival. All right, so my song for the week, it's kind of a newer one. It's called Tremble.
Mm-hmm.
By Mosaic MSC.
Excellent.
It's a really good song. I think the song really shows how strong our God is. Because it's talking about how God makes the darkness tremble.
So you mean He's powerful? Powerful enough to help us overcome temptation?
Yes, exactly.
You see how I tied that in there?
Yeah. See, you can tell he preached. He's a missionary. You can tell. But yeah, here's a little snippet of Tremble.
You know, I'm really liking that band. I've heard several cuts from those guys, and I'm excited about
them. They're
good. They're going to be coming to campus, Olivet Nazarene University, in October.
They are?
For an event. Yes, they are.
This is news to me.
The Sadie Robertson Original Tour.
Oh, gotcha.
Social Club Misfits and those guys. Okay, now it's time for the oldie but goldie. And I'm going back many years. In fact, I didn't write down the year on this. I would say it's probably 1986. I think I'm right on that. By a band called Mylon and Broken Heart. Mylon Lefevre is the guy's name.
Mm-hmm.
He used to be in a Southern gospel group when he was a kid with his family called the Singing Lefevres. And then as he became a teenager, started to do more music that he liked. There was a time that he rebelled. He used to sing backup for Elvis at one time.
Really?
Yeah. And then came back to Christ. Formed a band, performed for many, many years. Him and his wife are still out there doing some evangelism stuff.
Hmm.
This is a song that I love. It's called One by One. Here's your classic.
One by one. Somebody's gonna tell
I'm going to have to give that one a full listen.
Just get a couple of their albums, because they have some really rocking stuff, too, really? I think you would like. Well, that's Music Matters. And now we're going to move into a segment we call Culture Shock. Now, I picked this stuff for Culture Shock this week, like we did last week, because Jake is transitioning, and I know that a lot of folks that listen to our podcast are either teenagers or college students, and they're transitioning life into college, as college is getting underway here, if it hasn't already for some. And so I found some ways that will help wake us up in the morning.
Amen. Please.
Because I'm not in the dorm room. I have no control over setting the alarm and the snooze.
It's so rough.
And I realize, because I do remember that many years ago, that as a college student, you do not get enough sleep. You average maybe 4 to 5 hours of sleep a night.
I've been getting 8 to 9 every night.
Have you really?
Yeah.
Well, when you have to start studying late into the night, that'll change.
Yeah.
Prioritize and get your studying done during the day, if possible. Because one of the ways that will help you wake up in the morning is by getting plenty of sleep. Now, as a college student, it's very difficult to do that, but doctors will tell you anywhere between 7 and 9 hours of sleep each night, depending on, you know, who you are. I like to hit the 7 hour. 7 to 8 hour is good for me.
Yeah.
So if you have to get up at 6 a.m., you adjust going to bed.
Yeah.
Even though they might be rowdy in the hall in the dorm. I get that. Another one is to skip the snooze button.
Really? Well, duh. I mean, yeah. I feel like that one's kind of obvious. Because if you hit the snooze button, you're just going to go back to sleep.
Yeah. And I know with phones now, you can set multiple alarms.
I do that.
Yeah.
I have 4.
We'll talk about that in a little bit of how to avoid that. Part of waking up in the morning is eating a healthy breakfast.
Guilty as charged.
Yeah. College students primarily don't eat breakfast. They roll out of bed, throw on clothes, run the class.
No, that sounds exactly like me right now.
Yeah. But breakfast is the most important meal of the day.
Yep.
That means you have to get up earlier to make it to go get breakfast before you go to class. I realize that's tough. Next one you'll love. Turn on some music.
I can do that.
Great way to wake up in the morning. Quick tempo, upbeat words, strong bass line, which I know you love. Boom, boom, boom. That'll get your head off the pillow quick. You want to get your blood flowing. That's another one. Again, with the snooze button, you use your phone to wake up. Many of us use phones to wake up. Maybe we need to go back to the alarm clock on the other side of the room.
Oh, I put my phone on the other side of the
there
room.
There you go. Use your phone on the other side of the room. That actually gets you out of bed to go turn the alarm off.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which is an important thing. But, you know, get up, do some yoga poses.
My body doesn't do that.
I don't either. Some push-ups. Go outside, run around the dorm building a couple times. Just get your blood flowing. Let the sunlight in. Open up the blinds. Now you have a roommate, more than likely in college, and maybe your roommate doesn't have to get up as early, so that could really cause problems.
My roommate has to get up before me, actually.
Well, then make him open up those blinds.
No. No. Keep it dark.
Another one, which is interesting, I never thought about this, but they actually say it works, is use your opposite hand.
I'm technically ambidextrous, though.
Yeah, but what hand do you typically brush your teeth with?
My right.
Okay. Brush your teeth with your left hand in the morning.
Ugh.
Yeah. I know it's weird, but they say that if you really want to challenge, quick way to wake up, brain power and focus to do that basic task with the other hand will switch that brain over from sleeping mode into daily life mode.
You're missing the most important one, though.
Which one's that?
Get yourself a cup of coffee.
Now, see, that's not on my list here.
But it's on mine. It is most definitely on mine.
I'm still trying to be a parent, just trying to get you to wake up on your own.
I've been waking up on my
classes,
own now.
Classes start 29th for you. So that's Culture Shock. All right, well, that wraps up episode number 10. Thank you so much for tuning in. We hope you enjoyed it. We hope you enjoyed the faith question. Again, facing temptation. We all face it. Don't have to give in to it. God will give you what you need to avoid falling into temptation, which then turns it into sin. We all face temptation and trials. It's a part of life. It's how we grow. Just embrace it as an opportunity to grow in Christ, which is a great thing. Again, if you want to communicate with us, several different ways of doing that.
My Twitter's at @utter_butter99.
You can find me on Twitter, Brian Utter. My name is on Twitter. And then also the Shine.fm Chicago Facebook page. We have a kitchen table group that you can be a part of. Just search on Facebook, shine.fm Chicago, and find that group on there, and we'll gladly invite you in and continue the discussion because that's what we're trying to do here, foster discussion between parents and their young adult children, teenage children, to just talk more about the faith things that we need to learn.
Yep.
So thanks again for tuning in. Have a wonderful week.
I'll see you next week.
Thanks for listening to The Kitchen Table on the Shine.fm Podcast Network from Olivet Nazarene University. Be sure to subscribe for more content delivered each week on faith, music, and culture.